Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Book of Romans, chapter number 5. We're going to look at verse number 9 to begin with here this morning. Won't you stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Let's back up and read verse 8. I just like that verse so well, I believe I'll read it anyway. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad he died for us while we're yet sinners? And he saw all that we wouldn't. Sin we would do, but yet he took it all and went to Calvary. But look at verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we had to be in the house of God. And Lord, our hearts today are moved toward the families that have been in bereavement in recent days. We pray for the Ward family. We pray for the Dowling family. And now for Summer Fowler family. Lord, my heart cries unto you to help them. And Lord, you know their need. Not right now, I pray. In Jesus' name, you minister unto them the grace of God. Then, Father, I do pray that you would help. As we think about the sick folk all around us and those that in the hospital, Sister Dot, we pray for her. Ask you to help her in a special way. Then, Lord, others that are sick and home, and we ask you to help them. You know all the needs. But, Father, the greatest need we have today is that sinners see their need of a Savior and come to know him. And, Father, I pray for the divine anointing power of God be upon us to preach. And, Lord, that we may worship in spirit and in truth, that Jesus may be exalted and lifted up, and that the Holy Spirit may work in hearts, bring conviction, a draw unto yourself. I pray you save the unsaved and stir the hearts that are out of the will of God. And I pray you'd help all of us draw closer unto you. Lord, you said in thy word, without you we can do nothing. And so we stand here today as a needful creature. Ask for a divine touch of God and help us, Lord, to think and be able to say what we need to say. And I pray the power of God take it. Seal it down in hearts and bring that conviction or encouragement or whatever's needed. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm looking at verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I want to talk about the subject today. I guess best way I want to put it is, saved from what, by what? Saved from what, by what? And I pray that God would help us to at least get part of that message preached today and thinking about that. I've talked to people and asked them if they're saved, and they say, saved from what? Said I was in a car wreck one time, and God inspired my life, and I was saved from death. And then I've heard him say, well, my family's breaking up and God saved me from having family broke up or whatever it may be. And they talk about being saved that way. And of course, they're talking about it in the way we talk about it today. It really means deliverance. And we use the word saved or born again, regenerated, converted. We use those terms all talking about being born again. But the word saved can mean several different things. It means deliverance, saved from something, by something. And that's what I want to deal with today and share with you just some thoughts that, along that line. And I pray that God will help us to do so and that it speak to your heart and help somebody here and do something to help all of us, because I certainly realize the fact that without God's help, it won't be anything, but I pray God will take it and use it for his glory and his honor. And the first one we're going to talk about is saved from wrath by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for that. Amen. And this is what we're talking about, being born again or converted, regenerated, whatever terminology you use for that. I'm glad I'm saved from wrath through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when I talk about wrath, I'm talking about the wrath of God. And the Bible says that God's angry every day with the wicked. And so his wrath will be poured out. And then we find over there in 1 Thessalonians talk about the fact that we're not appointed to wrath, but then to salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad I'm not appointed unto wrath. The wrath he's talking about is the wrath of God. Now, everybody today wants to think about God as some kind of a old man upstairs, and that he's rocking in a rocking chair, and he's loving and so forgiving that you can do anything and believe anything and it'll be all right. Well, that's not how God is. God's not the old man sitting upstairs, and he's not rocking in a rocking chair. He's more than that. He's holy God, holy, holy, holy. Amen. He's God of the universe and the God that created. God put us here. God sustains us. The God that holds the universe in place. And that's the God I'm talking about. And the wrath of God will someday will be poured out. And we talk about the tribulation period being the time of the wrath of God. You see, the day the Gentile world thinks they're getting by, so does the Jewish world, but God's going to be in the tribulation period revealing himself unto them. But we today in our world is living in such a manner that it looks like they think there is no wrath to come. And we live that way, like there's no wrath. But I want you to know the same holy God that loved me and gave himself for me and saved me by his marvelous grace is the same holy God that someday will pour out his wrath upon this world. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm not appointed to wrath. And you think about it. People today take it lightly. Can you think about being in the hands of an angry God? Can you think about meeting God and not being saved? Can you think about meeting God, having rejected his love, everything that he did for you, and then being cast in the lake of fire? Can you think about that? I'm telling you, it's the wrath of God. And if you're not saved, not born again, someday you will experience the wrath of God in his fullness, and God will pour out his wrath. God will not let sin get by. Sin must be punished. There is a wrath of God to be poured out upon sin. And I'm glad at Calvary's cross, Jesus took my place, and the wrath of God was poured out upon him for me. And now, thank God, he commended his love toward me, and yet while I was yet sinner, Christ died for me. I say hallelujah. I'm glad he died for me. I'm glad he died for you. I'm glad that Jesus Christ paid the price. But I had saved from what? By what? Saved from wrath by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Thank God for the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so it took blood sacrifice. The penalty for sin is death. And so death had to be met. And Jesus Christ had to shed his blood. I'm glad, thank God, for Ephesians 1 said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I say hallelujah. Thank God for grace. Let the blood be shed at Calvary. In 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, received from the vain compensation of your fathers, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? The blood. Thank God for the blood. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entering once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. In that holy place in the Old Testament, a high priest would go in once a year, take blood, and he'd make all the sacrifices and go in behind that curtain that hung there and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat and in front of it, step over in it, and then he'd plead for himself and the people. I say hallelujah. That was good for them. And lasted. And the next year they had to do it again. Next year they had to do it again. And again, they made sacrifices every day. But once a year the high priest would go in there in that holy place. But I want you to know tonight, tonight, today, whatever time it is, I want you to know that there's one day that Jesus Christ entered into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. I mean, he sprinkled blood once and forever. In heaven itself, the Bible said that down here on this earth, it is a place where that men had to make sacrifices, but Jesus entered to heaven itself, and all the Old Testament sacrifices and the tabernacle, all types and pictures of the heavenly in reality. And thank God he went in the reality in the holies of holies and paid the price once and forever. And I say glory to God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I say hallelujah for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. Blood of Abel only cried for himself and cried for men. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ for everybody is good for everybody and save everybody that'll come. I say hallelujah. I'm glad there's a fountain filled with blood. I'm glad there's a blood flow. Amen. I'm glad there's blood on the mercy seat in heaven itself now in my place, your place. And thank God for the blood. I'm safe under the blood. Amen. And that blood been given. And somebody said, oh, you're one of those old preachers that preach about the blood. You got that bloody gospel. I have got a bloody gospel. It's a bloodline from Genesis to Revelation. And thank God, I'm glad I'm in the bloodline. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so today, thank God, Jesus Christ himself shed his blood, holy, pure blood. He was virgin conceived and born in the world without a man having anything to do with it, and had holy blood flowing in his veins. Went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood. And thank God, I don't believe a drop of it was ever lost. But he took his blood and entered yonder into heaven itself and the holies of holies and made sacrifice for us. And I say praise God for the blood. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Thank God. Amen. They power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. I've not been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've not had it applied to my life. Let me report to you today. Today the fountain's open for you. Today is your day. You can come and trust Jesus and be saved and born in the family of God. I pray that you'll do so. You need to be saved and born in the family. Can't get to heaven any other way. And so it's only the blood-bought way to get you to heaven. I pray that you'll come. I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 21. I'm going to preach for a few moments about this subject. We're going to baptize tonight. But I'm going to preach about being delivered from a bad conscience by baptism. That's what the Bible says. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21. The like figure, and I want you to get that. If you don't get the like figure, you miss the whole verse. The like figure. He's saying, I'm giving you a figure or a picture or a type. Like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you very quickly. What he didn't say that we are saved by being baptized. He said the like figure wherewith. He talked about the like figure. In other words, when we baptize tonight, Lord being our helper, we'll do that. I'll have to have somebody else to help me. Besides, the Lord will help me, but he'll give me somebody else to help me too. And we're going to baptize. And in that baptismal service, you know what that is? It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a figure. That's what he's talking about. And not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You can quit drinking liquor and still die and go to hell. You can quit cussing and still die and go to hell. You can quit committing adultery and still die and go to hell. And that's not what saves you. What saves you is that picture and that like figure he's talking about. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it is also a picture. The person who is being baptized has died out to sin, been buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. I'm glad, praise God, it's a beautiful picture. I love to baptize because it pictures so wonderfully what Jesus has done for us and what has happened to us. And I say praise God for it, amen. I'm glad for baptism. Somebody said, preacher, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? No, don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. But I believe anybody that's ever got saved wanted to get baptized. Amen. And if they wasn't physically able, they still wanted to be. Amen. And I've baptized some folk. We had to help them in and out and everything else. And the fact is, we carried one lady out in a chair and had another man help me carry her out in a chair and baptized her that way. It's the only way we could get her in, baptize her in the creek. And we used to baptize in creeks, rivers, and anything we could get a hold of up in Virginia and baptize. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad we got enough water to put them under. We can baptize them. Amen. And you say, preacher, I didn't think baptism is so important. Baptism is very important. It's an act of obedience after that you are saved. If you ever, hey, but I know it's a humbling thing to go in the water and get all wet and women get their hair all messed up and mascara runs everywhere and they look like some kind of, well, never mind about that. But being baptized is wonderful. Amen. And I praise God. And you've heard the story about the man got baptized and he didn't know what to say. He'd been out there in the world. He didn't know what to say when he come out, but he's come up saying, hot doggy, hot doggy, hot doggy. I say hot doggy and praise God too, amen. But being baptized is such a privilege to be baptized because it's an open profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited to baptize. It excites my soul. And I'm telling you tonight and today that if you're not been baptized, but you've been saved, by the way, let me run this rabbit just for a minute. If you got saved after you got ducked under the water, you've never been baptized. You can only be baptized by being saved first. If you're not born again, you won't be born again when you come out of the water. And if you got saved later in your life and you've never been baptized, then you've never been baptized. And I say to you today, be a good day to get that thing settled and do what God says. I don't do what the Bible says. And he said the blood of Jesus would save me and I'd be delivered from the wrath of God by that blood. And I'm glad, thank God, and be delivered from a bad conscience by the being baptized. Do you remember the book of Acts? And I won't go into all of it, but let me just give you a few examples out of the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and the others, men were there ministering, and men and women cried and said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? And Peter answered, what must we do? And Peter answered to them and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm for the remission of sin. I'm telling you that God said and told Peter to tell them to repent and be baptized. Now, being baptized wasn't going to save them, but they could repent. If you ever really repent, you believe. Over there, told the Philippian jailer to believe, didn't say anything about repenting. Here, talked about repenting, didn't say anything about believing. But if you ever really believe, you will repent. And if you really repent, you do believe. And you can't separate the two. It's two sides of the same coin. I'm glad, praise God, that it is, because I know I repented because I believed, and I know to believe because I repented, amen. If you ever see yourself a sinner and going to hell, you'll want to repent. And what is repentance? It's a turnaround. It's turning from one direction to another direction, and if you're going with the world in one direction, you need to turn around, come back, and go the other direction with God. And once that happens, you have to believe and trust in him. Amen. It's just all tied together. You won't turn around if you don't believe he's able to help you, if you don't believe he'll save you. So it ties together so tightly, you can't separate the two. So he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And I say, hallelujah, praise God, it's real. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was down there in Samaria preaching, and the Bible says the men and women being baptized. They baptized all of them. Then the Holy Ghost spoke to him, sent him down to the desert. And the Ethiopian eunuch was down there reading Isaiah 53. And he couldn't understand what he was reading. And asked Philip to come up in the chariot with him and help him. And then they come to some water. He said, what doth hinder me from being baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And so they stopped the chariot and had a baptismal service. I say, hallelujah. Preacher, is it important? I believe it's important. That Ethiopian eunuch, when he realized Jesus did for him and believed it and trusted him, he wanted to get baptized and jump right in. Amen. I say, praise God. They went down the water, came up out of the water. And I believe baptism is by immersion. I got some water up here, but it's for drinking. It's not for baptizing. Because it'd be hard to get anybody in this house in that cup. And being baptized is going in the water and coming up out of the water. And so I want you to know it's a picture and a type of being buried with Christ, raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. And so today, if you're not saved, and he got saved, then you read in chapter 9 where Paul, Saul at that time, before he became Paul, called Paul, he got saved. And of course, he's blinded, and he seemed down to Ananias' house and got down there, and he received his sight and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says he was baptized. He was baptized before he ever started any ministry. He got baptized before he ever witnessed anybody. He got baptized. Amen. And I'm glad. You remember chapter 10? And Peter had that vision up on the top of the house, four corners of the sheet written down. Had all kinds of meat on it. And Peter said he hadn't eaten any kind of meat like that. He was a strict Jew, and he hadn't eaten any of that. God told him, what I cleanse, don't you call unclean. And then he got the message from some Gentiles from Cornelius' house to come down and help them. And God was preparing him not to call unclean what he cleaned. God was going to take the gospel to Gentiles. And so Peter went down there and preached to them. And they received Jesus, and the Bible says in the house was baptized. I say, glory to God. I kind of like that. Amen. Amen. They all got baptized. And I praise him and thank him for the reality of being baptized. Acts 16, that Philippian jailer, you remember him? He went to jail, and you thought Elvis Presley started Jailhouse Rock. God rocked a jailhouse a long time before he ever come along. Amen. That jailhouse rocked. Come apart, door swung open, bands fell off. And they didn't, by the way, this gets my attention. They didn't a one of them run. I don't believe anybody ran from that place. Not one. Nobody ran. They all stayed in there. In that day, the man was in charge of the jail. He was under the death penalty if any prisoner escaped. And so he thought he'd just kill himself because the jail was all to pieces and doors was open. He figured it all fled. He started killing himself. Paul ran in and said, don't do yourself no harm. We're all here. I wonder why they all stayed. I believe God got so real in that place. The Holy Ghost had got the others under conviction too. And they wasn't anybody. Everybody's afraid to run. And they're waiting around to see what was going to happen. And so he preached to that jailer that night, and he and his house got saved. And the Bible said he washed their stripes, gave them meat, and he baptized the whole household that night. I say glory to God. Amen for baptismal service. And some people take it lightly and say, well, I'm just going to take some people in some water. No, we're not just going to take some people in the water. We're going to baptize biblically, scripturally. Amen. It's something to shout about. It's something to rejoice about. Something to get excited about. People got saved, and want to follow the Lord in baptism. Amen. Praise God. What time is it anyway? Well, never mind. You don't need to know. I want you to look in chapter 5, 1 Peter, verse number 7. Saved from defeat by the Spirit of God and the Scriptures, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. And that sober is not just not being drunk, but be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Be working at it. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, whom resist steadfast. He's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, but said you resist him. In James, I'll get it in a minute. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Now, in thinking about this, these people today that are saved, but they're living defeated lives. They're wandering in the wilderness when they couldn't be in Canaan. They could have joy, but they don't have the joy. They've let things of the world creep in little by little and take away the joy of living for God. And they're in a mess. But I'm telling you today, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You believe that? I do. I believe God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us. If we'll only call upon God and ask God to help us, he'll do that. I say to you today, save from defeat as a Christian by the Word of God, the Scriptures, listen to him. He's telling us what to do. And then over in Ephesians 6, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so the Bible tells us how to do it and says resist the devil. Somebody said the devil's riding my back. Well, make him walk. And fact is, you ought to make him run to keep up with you. Amen. The devil ought to be saying, there he comes. He's going to give me a fit again. Instead, we turn it around and say the devil's giving us a fit. How come we don't give the devil a fit? You remember that one that was possessed with a spirit of demons, and he went out there, and he was, and then the seven sons discovered, one just one, seven of them. And they wanted to get the Holy Ghost, you know, but they couldn't do that. They jumped on. They was going to do something bad, but God got on them, and they got whipped and sent off. And I say, praise God. I'm glad he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world, and we can rejoice in that. Amen. And here's what the sons of Scurvy said. They said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And he was trying to cast a demon out, but he didn't know God, and they didn't know him. I like the demons to at least know who I am. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I have enough trouble the way it is. Well, if you're letting him give you trouble, just start witnessing and start telling about Jesus and start trying to help somebody else. And I guarantee you, he'll soon start trying to say, let's just discourage him, get away from him. Here he comes. He's going to tell somebody about Jesus. He's going to give out a tract. He's going to invite somebody to church. He's going to pray. He's getting down his Bible. Amen. We tremble at him when he ought to tremble when we walk up the steps to a house. You say, preacher, we're no match for him. No, no, you're right. We're no match for the devil. But I got one living in me that can handle him. Amen. I got one that knows how to handle him. I got one that can handle him. Amen. And a lot of you folk here in this church had big brothers when you went to school. If you ever got in trouble, you just look for your big brother, you know, or somebody that's your friend bigger. And I guess everybody in school, when that big Dave back there went to school, they probably all looked for him. He's gentle as can be, but he's big as a bear. Intimidating. But I'm glad I got one that intimidates the devil. I'm no match. I can't handle him. But Jesus can. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Think about this tonight. Not being defeated by the Spirit and the Scriptures. Saved from wrath by the blood of Jesus. Saved from defeat by that Spirit of God that lives within the Scriptures. Saved from that bad conscience by baptism. But you're here today and you're not saved. I want to report to you, today's your day. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost speak to hearts, draw people to Jesus. And I pray, Father, those that know not Christ will get saved. Those that are saved may be drawn closer. Those who may need to follow the Lord in baptism will obey. I pray today, Father, people would listen to God and obey him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.